Everybody's looking at me, you know? I see here, I see all these faces looking back at me, and sometimes I wonder, what are you looking at? But see, I'm also looking at you. And so I could ask my question, you could ask the same question, what am I looking at? And see, the world looks at us. And so we could ask the very important question, what are they looking at? There's a lot of things that the world sees when they look at religion and when they look at the church. Jeremiah 7:27, therefore you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall call to them, but they will not answer you. You know, we've had people that have come here that have that we've asked to come by and speak because we wanted, we'd call it a revival. Roland used to like to do those. And so we did that one time. And when the people came by, they looked at the small building and they looked at the small congregation. And they said that you're not going anywhere. And these were strong people in the faith, but these were people that presided over hundreds and hundreds of people. And they told us that we weren't going anywhere, that we wouldn't succeed in this small building. You see, God told Jeremiah, he said that when you go preach to the people, he says, you preach to them, and they'll see you, they'll look at you, but they won't listen. Oh, that's what I just said. And so, here's a guy that's standing up that is preaching to an audience. And he's looking at them, look back at him. And God says, they're going to see you, but they're not going to listen to you. And so sometimes, you know, I look out and I see people that are tired. I see people that are happy. And then I see people that just kind of look with a blank look on their face, you know, like they're in a trance, you know. And sometimes I wonder, you know, are they hearing? You know, am I a distraction? Are they listening? Are they growing, you know? Because God told Jeremiah, he said that you're going to go out and you're going to preach to them and they're going to look at you, but they're not going to listen. You don't know the effects that the Word of God has on people. I see people that don't really mind about their outer appearance. And they come and they want to sit and they get comfortable and they're listening to the Word of God. They're letting the Word of God feed them. And there's one thing that I know for sure is if you have ever watched somebody eat, there's all kinds of different facial expressions that they make. I mean, when they get down to eating, they are, you know, just and stuff's dripping off their mouth, and you tell them, I'm like, you know, like, yeah, I'll get that in a minute because you're bringing something up to your mouth. I mean, you're just chowing. So you can't judge people by looking at them. But we look at each other all the time, and sometimes we wonder what's going on. Like if I'm up here teaching, and you wonder, where's this guy going with this, you know? Or you get bored, or you were tired, or you're really, really hungry. You couldn't have breakfast or whatever, and your mind is just somewhere else. And see, the Word of God has a way of captivating you and bringing you down so that you can hear. He has a way of bringing you in and feeding your souls. But this wasn't the world that Jeremiah was speaking to. He was speaking to Judah. Jeremiah was speaking to Judah. And what that means is that God was telling him, you're going to preach to my people and they're not going to listen to you. Now that's not always the case. All of the prophets didn't preach to people. All of the prophets didn't preach to people that wouldn't listen. A lot of them did listen. But why would God want us to go to a world and why go to a people and preach when they wouldn't listen? Why would he do that? We don't stop telling our children what the difference between right and wrong, or just because they don't want to hear, do we? You see, when they get older and they don't heed the advice, that's on them. That is on them, because you've done everything that you can to get them to see, but if they whatever they want to do, it's on them. God tells us these things because whether if we listen or not, he has done his job. If you want to look at it that way as a job, but God has come to us and he has told us, and so there's no excuse on Judgment Day. He says, I even preached to people that weren't going to listen, just so that I might save one soul. Mark 11:15-18. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. And then he taught, saying to them, Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves? You see, even though Israel was the nation of God and the law was written for the Jews, God wanted Israel to be an example to the people outside. God, make no mistake, God wants us to be an example to the people who live for Christ. And you know what he wants them to see most of all? Is our failures. Because if we were perfect, then it would be when we came in and there are people that just can't seem to get it together and they would walk away. He wants us to see that we are an imperfect people that serve a perfect God. He wants people that aren't afraid to talk about their growth and talk about their failures and talk about the way that God has brought them out of the life that they used to live. Because what we wanted out of that life was not what God had wanted. These people right here, people will take this verse and they'll say that we can't have yard sales and things like that. And to my knowledge, we haven't had one, but the reason we don't do it is we just don't do it. God didn't have a problem that these people were trying to help someone out. But the problem was the motive that was behind it. When you were supposed to bring a lamb, you were supposed to bring a lamb. You were supposed to. You don't wait till you get there and then try to buy oil from the world to get into the temple. And these people were selling lambs that didn't have the blemish. I mean, they weren't selling unspotted lambs. They were selling the ones from their flock that they didn't want to reproduce. And they were bringing this junk into the church and trying to pass it off as worship. Make no mistake, if we come into this building as an example to the world, what's what he says? My house is called a house of prayer for all nations. Make no mistake, if we come into this building and we bring junk and we're not interested in truly worshiping God, they're going to see that. They're going to see that. They may not be able to see in these four walls when we come and it closes. They're going to see it in your life when you live out there. They're going to see this. And God said, this is not what I want them to see when they're looking at you. That's not what you want to see when you're looking at me. That's not what I want to see when I'm looking at you. And remember, this is not about perfection. God wants people to know that we fail. That's what he's shown us all through Scripture, is that you have fallen, I have picked you up. Verse 18, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it, and they sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. What was astonishing at the teaching of Jesus? It should be the same thing that's astonishing about people preaching the Word of God today, is that it pricks your heart. It makes you feel like God is looking directly at you and that he's talking directly to you. Because you know what? He is. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. There's no difference. I'm not seeing a picture that you're not seeing in my life. I see people that are aggravated when they come in, and you've certainly seen me aggravated when I've come in here. I've seen people that are tired, and you've seen me that are tired. But we want to see people that come in here to worship God, not people who bring the junk in and that they want to pass this off as worship. That's not what God wants. And He says that if this is what you're doing, He's going to call it out. Now, He's not going to call it out because I'm going to point fingers, because you're going to see me and I'm going to see you, and the teaching is going to call it out. That's what's going to happen. Because He said, is it not written? God is going to bring this out. God is going to bring this out. But the priests heard this and they wanted to destroy Him because they were making money off of this. They were getting something out of this. They didn't want this to stop. They didn't want people to truly serve God, because if they did, they would notice that I wasn't serving God. Do you understand? They would have looked at the chief priest and the Pharisees, and they would have looked at that organization, and they would have seen that they weren't serving God. The elders that were over them, they weren't really serving God. They were more concerned about this than they were about God. People see followers of Jesus who listen for something to use against Him for their own benefit. We want to follow a God that's okay with our life, because we will back up and we will back up and we will back up, but there is a point when we refuse to back up any further. And the devil's looking for that spot, and he's going to rub it like salt into an open wound. Right? That little place on your shoe when you get new shoes, and everything feels great except for that one spot that every time you take a step, it just rubs, whether it's on your toe or if it's on your back heel or on the side, or it feels like that the padding in there is jacked up, and when you walk, it just feels like somebody's... It's just that one little spot, right? And the Satan's going to watch for that one little spot. And he's going to bring all kinds of situations around that one little spot that's going to cause you to turn away. People are watching us, and this is how they see the vast majority of Christians, because they see that we are using Jesus for our own benefit. When they look at the church, this is what they're seeing. We see them, they use the world for their benefit, and they look at us and they don't see any difference. So what are they looking at? They should be looking at something different, but they're not. Not all the time. This is not the world Jesus is speaking to, but He's talking to the Jewish nation. See, we have to understand that all these problems that lead us away from God don't come from out there. They come from right here. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. We talked about that we are led away by our desires. I can't stop my desires for being there, but I have to have control over them. That's what He told Cain in the very beginning. He said, sin lies at your door, but you should rule over it. See, that tells us that the temptations of our own desires is never going to go away in this flesh. People who think that they come to church and they don't think about doing bad things, they're setting themselves up for a fall. Because all of these warnings that we've read so far, He's telling, had this been the church age, He'd be telling the church. And we're reading it in the church. He's talking to the Jewish nation. He's talking to the people of God. He's talking to us. We could also ask God, what are you looking at? And He could ask, well, what are you looking at? Do you think I'm someone to be played with? Trifled with? Mark 13:1, then as He went out of the temple, one of His disciples said to Him, Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. The apostles were with Jesus, and they were looking at the temple, and it was a magnificent structure. And He said, look at these buildings. How amazing. How amazing. People look at church buildings. We have a picture of this place out on the... In all forms that we advertise, and it shows a picture of the place so that people would know when they showed up that this was the place, right? When people were coming to my house like some of Lauren's friends or some friends or something that had never been there before. We had some friends come from out of town years ago from, and I sent them a picture of the house so that when they drove by, they're like, oh, this is it. Because you're looking for house numbers, and some of them aren't very evident. You know, they're hidden. It's like some game or something. But I sent them a picture of the house, and they knew what they were looking at. People look at church buildings. They drive by here, and they see a little place, and they think, like we had been told, ain't much going on here. They look at buildings. When they think of the church, they think of buildings. You can drive around older sections here in the city and places, and there's these magnificent structures. They were built in stone, and they have towers, and they have courtyards. They're beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. But that's not the church, but that's what people see as the church. When you say, what are you looking at? They're driving by, and they're looking for a church. What are they looking for? One of the things that they look at is the building. Luke 4:20 through 22. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? People come and they, let's say that they like smaller congregations. They like smaller buildings. They don't want these huge, huge places because they feel uneasy around people. And they just don't want a whole lot of people up in their business. They don't want to fight crowds. They just like the smaller feel, okay? And so they get past and they come in the building. And then who do they look at? You're looking at him. See, you're looking at him. They would be looking at him. And he told them here that all eyes were fixed on him, but yet they looked at him and they said, he's just a man. Isn't this Joseph's son? See, they heard the words that were coming out of Jesus' mouth. And they all marveled at his teaching, but then they looked at him and they thought, what is this guy all about him? He can't even dress up for church, you know? He can't comb his hair. He can't do anything. I mean, I want to sit and look at this guy. This guy doesn't know anything about life. This guy doesn't fit in life. The building can run people off. I can run people off. See, because when people come and they're looking at the church, they look at these things. Marveled at the gracious words. My only hope, our only hope, really has ever been, is that people could see past all of the things that stop them from coming, and they hear the words that are being taught. Because the words speak to your heart. People that come in and they think, wow, this is not really what I expected. I mean, we had pews, we decided to have chairs, the chairs are more comfortable. They're padded. I mean, you have padded pews, but these are more comfortable. And so people, they just don't like the feel. They don't like the color. But yet they sit and they're like, well, I'm already here, so I'm just going to hang out. And we hope that the words change their hearts. And so what they're looking at is they start to see Jesus, not Joseph's son. They forget about the image of the person that's up here, and they hear the words that are speaking to their heart. People look at the preacher. They look at church buildings. But you know what? Most people never see the church. They never see the church. They look at the buildings. They look at the preacher. They look at the parking lot. They look at the things we have for kids. They look at the amenities. And all this stuff, but most people never really see the church. Matthew 26:40-43. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? What is going on? Y'all are sleeping? couldn't you watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He says he sees that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How did he know the spirit was willing? Because they were there. But they couldn't stay awake, so the flesh was weak. He comes back again. He goes a second time, and he went away and he prayed. And this is the struggle that he had. He said, Father, if there's another way. I mean, you don't think that Jesus was tired too? He had to have been just as tired as the disciples. He walked where they walked, and he was the one preaching, and they were listening. And he asked, let this cup pass away. There's another way, but your will be done. Verse 43, and he came and found them again sleepy, for their eyes were heavy. I would say in our lifetime as a Christian, there's a lot of times that we let our children down. We let our parents down. We let our God down. We let a lot of people down in our life. We try not to, but we just come to a point where we're just tired and we stop trying. And we just for a moment. And I want to show you this. They only see our failures. See, that the people were sleeping. That's what they see here. They get upset. They get upset with Peter and the other apostles because they fell asleep. And they're like, how could you sleep? If I'd have been there with Jesus, I would have been awake. I would have listened. I would have watched. They're fooling themselves. See, people only see our failures. They don't see the people who, beyond tired and beyond being exhausted, they refuse to not pray even though they were falling asleep. People don't see the church. They don't see the people that are so tired with life, that they're so tired from the day, that they go to pray and they fall asleep because they refuse to not take the moment to bend that knee before Almighty God and to pray to Him, even though they're so tired that they're going to fall asleep in the middle of their prayer. They said, I will not give up on you. People don't see that. They just see the failures of the people. They say, well, they're no different than I am. Yeah, they don't see that person that before they go to bed every single night, that they pray for every one of us. They don't see the church. They see the building. They see the preacher. They see the parking lot. They don't ever see the church. The people that refuse to give up on God. Acts 20, 7 through 12. Now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together, this is how we know we worship on Sunday in the New Testament and not on Saturday as they did under the old law. Jesus went to the temple not because he was in the church, but because he was a Jew under that law. And there are people today that think they can worship God on Saturday because Jesus worshiped in the temple. They're not rightly dividing the word. Jesus was not in the church. Jesus was under that old law. It wasn't until Colossians tells us that he died that the requirements for that law, and one of those requirements was worshiping on Saturday, to that being nailed to the tree. He had to die first. He wasn't in the church when he walked. He was under the law. The Bible tells us that he was born under the law. But when we see the apostles come together, the one that teach us and wrote to us, they met on the first day. Why? Because Jesus rose on the first day of the week. I just want to take that opportunity. Acts 20, 7 through 12. Now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, that's part of worship, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Wow. Well, I will tell you, it wasn't from 12 and noon till midnight. It probably started at 6 in the afternoon. It probably was a little later in the afternoon, probably not the worship that we set up. So they didn't endure 12 hours of preaching. But the idea that we have that if the preacher goes past 12, that's one of the things people see. It's like, Lord, man, it's 5 after. I didn't realize, you know, what is going on? God has a message. Do you want to hear it? Sometimes it takes a lot for us to understand. Sometimes it takes repetition for us to understand. But God has a message. Can we give Him time to tell us that message? the ones that want to worship God, they will give Him that time. But anyway, Paul didn't preach for 12 hours, and I'm not asking to preach for 12 hours. Not even if he did. He continued his message until midnight. Verse 8, there were many lamps in the upper room when they were gathered together. So talk about being tired and being dark and everything. Verse 9, and in a window sat a certain young man named, I don't know how to pronounce that, Eutychus, I don't know, who was sitting, he was in a deep sleep. So he was sitting there all this time, but just like the apostles, when they were with Jesus, he started to get tired, and he was sitting in that window, and he was just starting to fall asleep. He was sinking into a deep sleep, and he was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story, and he was taken up dead. He fell out and he died. I've not yet somebody listened to my preaching and fall over dead. But this guy did with Paul. He just fell right out the window and died. And what's amazing to me, Paul went down, verse 10, Paul went down and he fell on him, embracing him. He said, do not trouble yourselves for this man, for there is life is in him. Verse 11, now when he had come up, he had broken bread and eaten, talked a long while, even until daybreak, he departed. So here was someone that Paul preached till midnight, but they stayed till daybreak. That's a long time. You think you would get tired? You think you would get tired and fall out a window? How about Paul? He was the one up there preaching. So he preached until midnight, then this guy fell out the window, and Paul was with him until daybreak. They talked a while and then departed. Verse 12, and they brought the young man in alive. People see buildings. They see the preacher. They see the color of the chairs and the carpet. But they don't see the people who have stayed up and refused to not come. They don't see the people that have dedicated their life in service to this body of Christ. I'm talking about the one true body. We're just a small part of that. That they have dedicated their life to this. Most people never see the church. They see buildings, preachers, and parking lots. They don't see this person that was willing to sit. Most people, if I continue to preach, I would say that most people probably would get up and walk out. I mean, if I just kept preaching and you're like, oh my gosh, I mean, I got to go. And you just quietly, you just build up enough nerve and you're just like, you quietly just walk on out. You know, I'm like, man, I got a baseball practice. I got 12 to 1 is what I set my Walmart pickup. I got to go. You know, I got a roast on. I've got to go. And so you sit here and anticipation builds up and you get past maybe the embarrassment factor and you just walk out. You just say, I got to go. I'll explain later. I got to go. This guy was willing to sit there falling asleep. People don't see the church. They don't see the struggles that you have made in your life or that are around you, the circumstances in your life and all the struggles. They don't see your unwillingness to let Christ go. They never see the church. They just see buildings. Do you know that an unpaved parking lot is a big turnoff? Go figure. And we have enough money to pave the parking lot. Yeah, Mel. Mm-hmm. Yep. But see, this guy, he wasn't itching of the ears. He was willing to sit there and listen, even to the point where he just simply fell asleep. You ever been too tired to read your Bible? And you open it up and you start to read and you just drift off to sleep. Or you get up early to pray and I'm like a zombie when I get up. And so I can literally walk and get dressed and do things where I'm just half asleep. This takes me forever to wake up in the morning. But this guy, showing us the church here, he refused to walk out, even though he was so tired, he fell out, he fell over dead. What are you looking at? That's the kind of thing that God wants us to see. But most people don't give the church a chance because they only see the church as the building, the preacher, the parking lot. They forget about the people that sit in these chairs that fight for God in their life every single minute of every day. Any of you have plenty of reasons not to be here, but you're here because you're committed. Because you have a heart that says, I'm going to serve God and I'm not going to stop. They never see the wonderfully failed, beaten, tired, angry people who refuse to give up on Jesus Christ. They never see all of this. They don't see the failures that you have where you give praise to God that He brought you out of those failures. They never see the success that you have, that you give glory to God, that you have anything at all in your life. They never see the tears that you cry for someone else or quietly for yourself. They never see the church. They stop at the building, they stop at the parking lot, and they stop at it looking at me. They never see the people that sit in these pews, these chairs, that love God and aren't willing to give up on Him. Even though they fall over dead, even though they fall asleep, even though they just can't seem to take another breath, that last breath they're willing to give to the Lord in service, even though they don't think that it amounts to anything. And God says, the hairs on your head are numbered. And so when people say, what are you looking at? We can say, we're looking at the church. When I look at you, I'm looking at the church. When you look at me, you're looking at the church. We're looking at people who have failed but have brought their failures and laid them at the feet of God and said, make something out of my life. Because I can't. And if you will just give me a chance, I will not give up on you. Only don't give up on me. And God has shown us in His life that He will not give up on us. Even in our worst times, He says, I will not give up on you, but you better not give up on me, because if you walk away, there's no more hope. And people don't see that when they walk in here. They just see the building. They just see the size. They just see the color. They see the parking lot. They don't see any swing sets. God, I wish they could see the church. There was a time when it was difficult. I felt like the other parts of worship, you know, the coming around the table and the prayer list and everything, and it felt like that it was mechanical. It felt like that it wasn't real. It was something I was getting past to get to the message. That was all that I felt comfortable with, because that I knew. The other part, I had to make it mean something to me. And what I did is I started looking at the people. And I realized when we come around this table, I'm talking to people that I'm around the table with. When we talk about the prayer list, I realize that these are people's lives who I know, and I see their pain and they see mine. We see their frustrations. We see their anger. And now I don't see the first part as mechanical, but in the beginning I did. I had to grow and learn. I had to see the church. And so you helped me be the church that people could see. I helped you be the church, because God says, in your weakest moment, I was there. So that we could be the church and people could see it. We make a call every Sunday, and we call it the hymn of invitation, and We reach out to people with the very first gospel message that pricked their hearts. And still today, it will force people into making decisions that they didn't know they were capable of making. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. Those words bring about a conversion that makes us a part of the church. They make us the church. We would not be the church without those words. If you want to be, if you want to show the world the church, then you have to have those words that they start with on how you become the church to show them. And then they can watch your progress. Don't be afraid to show people your failures. But don't use your failures as an excuse. Don't wave your failures up that these were the greatest, these were the things that make me who I am. No, these are the things that the world has put in your way so you will not serve God, because most people will stop at those failures. You're the church. You've overcome those failures. You've overcome them because Jesus has overcome them. And when He saw them, He saw, nope, they're not going to be able to get past this unless I get past it. And so He got past it, we can get past it because we follow Him. We are the church. And so we always give this invitation to let people know how to become part of the church. Because when you ask people, you know, they say, well, I was baptized. Ask them, why were you baptized? Was it baptized for this reason? You very rarely get a chance to ask more than a couple questions with somebody. Make them count. Show them the church. Sometimes in your failures, they will see the strength of God. Because that's the way that He set it up. In the failures of Christ in the flesh, when He died, and that's what I'm talking about, it, not a failure, but you understand what I'm saying. When He died in that flesh, when He could not carry that cross any further, we saw the power of God in His life, that no matter what, He refused to give up on His Father. And we refuse to give up on Him. Even though we're tired, we fall asleep, we drop dead, we refuse to give up on serving God. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?